Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome and good morning, Christian Patriots. Welcome to the morning commute on this thankful week. This is the morning commute coming out of Spokane on 96.5 FM and AM 630 on the dial. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Trump Tuesday. Man, oh man, are there some great headlines in the news today.
Yes.
And yesterday, as you all know, we already described Javier Milei won the presidency in Argentina. And
yes.
And I mentioned on our channel, I said, oh my gosh, what happened? Did somebody unplug the electronic voting machines? And
yep.
And sure enough, it's just about that way. Apparently in their primary, their electronic voting machines had so many problems, they threw them out. They actually got rid of them. They said, no more.
That's right.
And now, look who they've got for president.
Yeah, somebody asked, how did they get the results from the election so quick?
Well, it says Argentina verified its election within hours of voting. The whole country. The counting never stopped. Cardboard wasn't put up to hide polling stations in Buenos Aires. The results didn't magically flip from red to blue
right.
In the dead of the night. Amazing how that works, isn't it?
Yep, amazing. When you get rid of the electronic voting machines and you have paper ballots with identification verification.
Exactly. It's simple. It's straightforward. You actually see what a real election looks like.
Yes, it's accurate.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Because when you see a conservative, I should say a nationalist, one who puts his country first and its interests first,
yep.
The crowds go wild.
Yep.
And when you see like in Spain where the socialist takes over in an election, or like in Brazil
right.
Or in the United States, you see the crowds go ballistic. In a negative way.
In protesting, yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
They know when they've been stolen.
Right, because Spain is now, they're basically saying the police open up Ferraz to traffic while cornering protesters who are boycotting Sanchez's coup
yes.
In Spain. And so basically, Spain had the exact opposite happen of what Argentina had happened. Again, it was
right.
The electronic voting machine fraud, and now they are under a coup, just like we experienced in 2020. What a shocker
yep.
That is. And, you know, all, like I keep saying, all because of electronic voting machines.
Yep.
Well, and so, yeah, Spain is just absolutely in an uproar. And like you're saying, also Argentina, the streets were flooded with celebrations
yes.
And cheering, and nobody could be happier.
And so, in Spain, the streets are flooded with protest and anger
yep,
over a stolen
right.
Election.
That's right.
You can see the difference. You know who won.
Yep.
You could look, that would be a great sociology thesis to work on, judging the accuracy of elections based on the reaction of the populace.
That's right.
In the crowds that roll out into the streets.
That's right.
Because nobody wants socialism. I mean, except for a few, you know, college students that...
Yeah, except for a few ignorant people that don't know any better.
Right.
And so clearly, I mean, this is... To hear his words, and he is saying the same exact things that we're saying about all of the liars and the fraudsters in our nation. The
yes.
people that are stealing this nation, robbing it blind.
Yes.
You know, that all of their wealth redistribution is basically the money laundering happening through Ukraine.
Right.
And so it's the same across the board, just like we've always said, the MO for communism is to loot a nation and rob it blind. And they call it wealth redistribution. And well, I guess you could just call bank robbery wealth redistribution as well. You know, I didn't rob that bank. I just redistributed the wealth.
Here's another right? thing too that's very a very interesting stark contrast. in Argentina, you've got this basically kind of like a South American version of Trump or Bolsonaro, right?
Right.
The people are celebratory. They're going for freedom. They're going toward liberty, yep. And they're rejecting socialism. And he's a friend of Israel, and that's one of his first international trips is going to be to Israel. And they're already talking about moving their embassy to Jerusalem.
Yep.
Contrast that with the socialist in Spain who just took over, who's saying that the Hamas was justified in their attack against Israel and accusing Israel of genocide.
Right.
So look, I mean,
well, it's basically, yeah, it's drawn. Like it's a line, because basically people that have found the love of the truth, like the Bible describes in the end of Revelation,
so yes.
that Jesus comes back for the people who have developed the love of the truth.
Right.
And to save us all from the liars. And so they seem to follow the same line of preferences that all of the rest of us do, that, you know, that are, they're true Americans that want honesty in government, that want fair elections. Everybody that is on that side of the right way to do things,
yes,
the side of truth, the side of, you know, liberty, basically, also tends to support Israel. And so
right.
it's a phenomenon, actually. And so, I don't know, I'm just glad to see it. But, you know, the fact that that is the first beacon that we've seen so far in this election series globally.
Yes.
I you know, we'll take it. And they got who they wanted because they got rid of the voting machines after their primary.
Right, right. And I want to correct myself, too. It's not the new guy that was just elected in Spain. Well, stole the election in Spain,
right,
however
right.
you want to put it. But it wasn't him that said that about Hamas. It's his cabinet minister that he just appointed, a far-left lawmaker, this woman, I don't know if it mentions her name, he appoints a far-left lawmaker who on October 7th justified Hamas's murder of some 1,200 Israelis and called Israel's attack on Hamas a genocide. That's from the Times of Israel.
Right.
So I just wanted to correct that. But
well, and I mean, and Spain is not the only place that's having problems with these fraudulent elections, because Albania is right there with them. In the right-wing members of parliament set off fire and smoke flares during session to protest increasingly authoritarian rule by the governing socialists.
Right.
The conservative leader, Sali Berisha, has vowed to obstruct all parliamentary sessions until there is reform. And so, you know, this is Albania. Smaller nations are having the same response to all of this communist socialist garbage as we're having.
That's right.
And it's the same exact blueprint across the whole world.
Yes. You know, something else too, this trend of maligning those on the right, conservatives, nationalists, as the violent extremists, the domestic terrorists. This is the label that we get the world over. But we see all these examples. It's the left wackos, the globalist communist Marxists, that are attacking, that are violent.
Right.
This Dutch right-wing leader, Thierry Baudet, was just hospitalized after a violent attack, 2 days away from the election, following a wave of violence against the right in Europe. So, and there's a whole bunch of examples here of this. So, you know, we know who's on what side and who stands for what.
Well, exactly. And so the good part is after the break, we've got some great news coming
yes.
out of Georgia as well that, I mean, oh my gosh, we could possibly be following in the footsteps of Argentina, believe it or not.
Right.
And so this could just be the first drop in the pond. And I'm really hoping that this is how it turns out, because, you know, sometimes all it takes is the first domino to go.
That's right.
And then everybody goes, click. Oh, you're right. That is exactly what we need to do.
Yep. We need to get the momentum started.
Exactly. And good grief. We know that we've certainly sent out enough of these ban electronic voting machines bills. That
somebody's got to be getting the hint by now.
Yeah, somebody's got to be having these conversations in the back rooms by now.
Right. Well, all right. Man, this is good stuff. This is good truth. This is Monochromatic Monday content. But,
yeah, right.
Let's get to the word of the day. And find out what we've got, what the Lord has in store for us.
That's right. This is a continuation of a random turning from yesterday.
And that's right.
So we're continuing on in John chapter 18, verses 12 through 24, which read under the title, Before the High Priest. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Under the title, Peter Denies Jesus. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Now the servants and the officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Do you answer the high priest like that? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And that's it for today. But there's some very interesting things in the Bible notes here. And I especially wanted to point out in verse 14, where it says, Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people.
Right.
Well, imagine that concept.
Yes. Right? He didn't even fully comprehend what he was saying.
Exactly, because this is the entire premise of Passover.
Right.
That is the whole bottom line, and Caiaphas just admitted it.
Yeah.
And how amazing that he could say, This is the best way to do it. This is, they've always been taught the scapegoat version of how to atone for their sins.
Right.
Right. And so the fact that he said it to about the lamb himself.
Yes.
Is astonishing. And so then the notes for verse 19 and 22 are very interesting. It says, In a trial, it was illegal for the accused to be interrogated, lest he incriminate himself. Guilt must be established by witnesses. And the Jews also violated their own law in striking Jesus.
Right.
And so that's interesting, because we're always describing how Mosaic law is the basis of all law in the modern world.
Right.
And so it's not real often that somebody's going to read our Constitution and talk about our laws and quote John chapter 18, verse 19. They're not going to say that it's, the whole premise of it's illegal for the accused to be interrogated lest he incriminate himself. We all know that.
Right.
You're going to plead the fifth. Right?
That's true. Yeah.
Right. And so guilt must be established by witnesses. That's also what our law describes.
Yep.
And so it's interesting to point that out, that yes, this nation is absolutely based on God's law.
Right.
And the Constitution backs it all up right from the very foundations.
Yeah, there's so many principles. That is a really interesting point. Wall builders, I've really enjoyed them over the years. Well, they will take different concepts from the Bible, from, you know, Mosaic law, and how it directly influenced the formation of our laws and our founding documents with the founding fathers.
Right.
And certainly, well, that's where the term Judeo-Christian culture came from.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, we've got Mosaic law all over our stuff, even in Washington, D.C. It's, you know, it's in the halls of justice.
Well, the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Very good. So, well, good. Okay. Well, thank you for that. And that was John chapter
18, verses 12 through 24 for today.
12 through 24. Okay, got it. All right, guys. Well, stick around, and we'll come back with segment two. Got some clips lined up for you. Go into the break with Coleman Underground, Spokane's own Coleman Underground with God Is Great. We'll be right back. The Son of Man.
Millions of Americans sincerely love Donald Trump. They love him in spite of everything they've heard. They love him often in spite of himself. They love Donald Trump because no one else loves them. The country they built, the country their ancestors fought for over hundreds of years, has left them to die in their unfashionable little towns, mocked and despised by the sneering half-wits with finance degrees but no actual skills who seem to run everything all of a sudden. Whatever Donald Trump's faults, he is better than the rest of the people in charge. At least he doesn't hate them for their weakness. Donald Trump, in other words, is and has always been a living indictment of the people who run this country. That was true 4 years ago when Trump came out of nowhere to win the presidency, and it's every bit as true right now. Trump rose because they failed. It's as simple as that. If the people in charge had done a halfway decent job with the country they inherited, if they'd cared about anything other than themselves, even for just a moment, Donald Trump would still be hosting Celebrity Apprentice. But they didn't. Instead, they were incompetent and narcissistic and cruel and relentlessly dishonest. They wrecked what they didn't build. They lied about it. They hurt anyone who told the truth about what they were doing. That's true. We watched. America is still a great country, the best in the world, but our ruling class is disgusting. A vote for Trump is a vote against them. That's what's going on in this country.
Back, Patriots, to segment two of The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. Segment two brought to you by Prepping 2.0, helping to take your preps to the next level. And the website there is prepping2-0.com. Lady Liberty, segment two on this. What
fine,
is
fine Trump Tuesday. That's right, everyone. Welcome back. And first little statement we have here from Trump was, he says, "Thank you to all of my great keyboard warriors. You are better and far more brilliant than anyone on Madison Avenue. There is nobody like you." And so that was kind of just a nice statement that he made. And we've got a clip here from his recent rally that he gave in Texas. And
yeah.
Of course, you know, they're always glad to see him down there, especially with the border crisis. And he's, you know, nobody else is willing to acknowledge, you know, that, like he says in this clip, that by the end of the Biden, I don't know what you call it, usurping of that position.
Yes.
There will have been 15 million illegals that have come into our nation. And that's bigger than the size of New York State.
Wow.
And so, good grief. But listen to what he has to say.
You never had to do it. But we're going to make the governor's job very easy, okay? I'm going to make that very easy. Congresswomen and Louis Gohmert, the great Louis Gohmert. We're going to make the jobs in this state very, very easy. We're going to take over that border, and we're going to make it. We had the most secure border in our history. Now we have the most unsecure border in the history, I believe, really, of the world. I don't think there's ever been a country in history that's had a border where millions and millions and millions of people are flowing into our country. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And a lot of people, they say 3 million, 4 million, 5. No, I believe by the end of this administration, it'll be 15 million people. That's bigger than New York State, will have come into our country illegally. And many of those people, you don't want them in our country. You know, they always get to fake news media right back there. Oh, that's a lot of media, by the way. That's a lot of fake news back there. No, some of them are very good. I can tell you. See, yeah, there's one camera way back in the corner. He's okay. But no, the media doesn't want to hear that. But the media has to get on their game. You know, they're doing very poorly. They have the fewest views they've ever had, at least in modern times. And they're doing very poorly. And part of the reason is they lost credibility. They can be a warrior for what's right for our country. They can also report like the stories like this, like the job that Border Patrol does and ICE does and the Texas law enforcement does and the governor does. They don't want to report those stories, but we have to, because our country is going to hell. Our country is going to hell. We have some people that either they don't care, they're not very smart, or they hate our country. And nobody really knows the answer, because who could object to voter ID? Who could object to a wall? A wall. I was saying before, wheels and walls, they work. Wheels and walls. Everything else gets old and tired and obsolete very quickly. Your phone that you're taking pictures with, and about a month from now, they'll have a better phone. Everything. But wheels and walls, they work. And we don't need the wheels. We just need the walls. And it worked. So we had the safest border in our history. And, you know, when I first ran in 2016, the border was really bad. Nothing like it is now. It was, like, incredible compared to the way it is now. But the border was bad. And I ran largely on the border, and I fixed it so good that in 2020, I couldn't even talk about it. My people would say, sir, you're wasting your time by talking about the border, because we had it fixed. The ranchers and the people that own homes along the border, they told me it was the greatest period of time they've ever had, the 4 years.
You know, I was watching a video of these military, U.S. military personnel assisting illegals across the border.
Yep.
And one in particular where, you know, Abbott's saying, we need President Trump in there to secure our border. Well, Governor, they put triple standard concertina wire up there to secure the border at the state level. And they allowed the federal government came in with a big, huge front end loader with a forklift, lifting all that concertina wire up, allowing illegals to just walk right under it and right into the U.S.
That's right. I would have shipped each and every one of those people. I would have had them arrested for doing
absolutely
that.
Absolutely. Where's the Texas yeah, Rangers?
Right, exactly. Have them arrested and charged with criminal behavior.
Yeah.
And, you know, try to get out of that.
Don't put this on President Trump. President Trump's not in there right now, unfortunately. And Governor, you are.
That's right. So and he was so willing to go along with Carrie Lake's idea of declaring basically an invasion,
yes,
and being able to respond as if in a time of war. And he was well on the way to doing that right alongside her. And then all of a sudden, when she didn't get in, it just disappeared.
Yep,
and
just
so
vanished.
That's unfortunate.
He's the Me Too governor.
Yeah, right. Well, and so we've also got this great news. I mean, because we're talking about getting Trump back into office, right? And so if Javier Milei can get into office without the electronic voting machines, well, listen to this great news. And I hope this is the first domino. This is Mike Lindell speaking with Real America's Voice.
These are, do you believe in the big picture, the sunlit uplands of John Fredericks?
Well, first of all, Steve, I get to take off my tinfoil hat. You know, that's what that judge said. We're not a conspiracy theory guy anymore. Praise the Lord. 100% John Fredericks. This is a landmark case. We have people down in Georgia. We're all over this, Steve. We have been for a long time. This has been going on for a long time. This is going to expose everything. The judges opened the door that no man can shut, and we're going to go through it. And this is huge, absolutely huge. And everybody, if you heard what John said there, He said, you know, we've got to get rid of the machines, paper ballots, hand counted. And then you heard the, you know, that they're trying to fight this down there saying, oh, we can't, we have to wait till after the 2024 election because we won't be able to do it in time. Well, the great country of Argentina, who I was just texting one of my friends down in Argentina, and they, down there, the, in the primaries, they had problems with their machines, so they got rid of them, and they got rid of them before the general election. 30 million people just voted in the general election. They're going to save their country, and they vote. They votes got in one night, the same night as the—
Yep, that's cool. And really, this is coming down to getting rid of the electronic voting machines. People are actually finally starting to talk about it.
That's right.
And then he's not the only one talking about it.
Yep, that's right. And we've also got another continuation on the same case with Real America's Voice talking with John Fredericks. And listen to what he has to say.
This case is about getting rid of the machines. Our goal is to get rid of machines. This case is landmark because this could lead, and I predict it will lead, to the Georgia General Assembly being forced to vote on getting rid of these machines and going to paper ballots in 24. And here's the deal. If you go to paper ballots in 24, Trump's going to win Georgia because they can't cheat because they're paper ballots. That's what we got to be focused on.
There's quite a bit more to that as well. We'll be posting that full-length audio on our Telegram channel tomorrow morning.
That's right, and that's fantastic. I just hope all the rest of the states start following in those footsteps, especially
yes.
like Michigan and some of those other more, you know, obvious states that had terrible election fraud.
Yes.
And one more last piece of great news is the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals has struck a devastating blow against the left's racket to make election integrity borderline illegal. Well, what else could they do to make it more illegal?
Right.
Anyway, it has been struck down, and the guy in charge of leading that whole effort, Mark Elias, is fuming. He calls it the most dramatic change to election laws in half a century. His group, the Democracy Docket, calls it catastrophic. So, woohoo!
Yes, catastrophic to the left.
That's right.
All right, well, good stuff. All right, well, you guys be safe out there, and join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. right here.
That's right. You all have a terrific Trump Tuesday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.